disturbingly attractive. She seemed intrigued by him. He kept catching glimpses of her watching him from among the copses of uncertain organs that bewhiskered the wind whale's back. Worst, there was a lone talking buzzard who had a smattering of Forsberger and a wise guy mouth. Bowmans could not get away from the bird, who, if he had been human, would have hung out in taverns, masquerading as the world's foremost authority, armed with an uninformed and ready opinion on every conceivable subject. His cheerful bigotry and who-cares ignorance drove the old man's temper to its limit. Things called mantas, that looked like sable-flying versions of the rays of tropical seas, symbiotes of the wind whales, with wingspans of 30 to 50 feet, were the most dramatic and numerous of his non-human companions. Though they looked like fish, they seemed to be mammals. They lived their whole lives on the wind whale's back. They were ill-tempered and dangerous, and they bitterly resented having to share their territory with lesser life forms. Only the will of their god contained their spite. There were dozens more creatures equally remarkable, each more absurd than the last. But they were more shy of humans and stayed out of the way. Discounting the mantas, the most numerous and pestiferous tribe were the talking stones. Like most people, Bowmans had heard tales of the deadly talking menhirs of the Plain of Fear. The reality seemed as gruesome as the stories. They were as shy as an avalanche and deadly pranksters. They were responsible for the plane's deadly reputation. Near as Bowmans could tell, what everyone else considered murderous wickedness, they considered practical jokery. What could be more hilarious than a traveler who, following false directions, stumbled into a lava pit or had his mount snatched out from under him by a giant sand lion? The stones, in the form of menhirs as much as 18 feet tall, were the stuff of a thousand stories, hardly a one pleasant. But the seeing and hearing and having to deal with was an experience that made the stories pall, though the stones were on their best behavior now. They were under constraint, too. The stones had no language difficulties. Happily, many were a laconic sort. But when they did go to talking, their speech was sour, acidic, caustic. The lot were verbal vandals. So how the hell come they were the ones their god had made his diplomatic corps? It was no wonder the Plain of Fear was a wide-open madhouse. The tree god running it was a 24-carat lunatic. The stones were gray-brown, mostly, without visible orifices or organs. Most were as shaggy with mosses and lichens and bugs as any normal boulder that lay around, keeping its mouth shut. They intimidated the hell out of Bowmans, who liked to pretend that he was not scared of any damned thing. There were moments when he came close to blasting them into talking gravel. Weird, damned creatures. Every 100 miles the wind whale dropped till its belly dragged. Members of every species, including the Torque brothers,